I'm happy to welcome Judge Andrew Napolitano back to the show. You've heard him on here many, many times. You've also seen him on Fox News Channel, where he is their senior judicial analyst. I have praised his two previous books, Constitution in Exile and Constitutional Chaos, and I'm happy to have him back here today to talk about his newest book, A Nation of Sheep. Although, Judge, I got to tell you, this book actually made me upset with you.
Upset with me or upset with the way the Constitution's being attacked?
Well, you know how upset I am about that. As a civil libertarian, it drives me crazy, but I'm mad at you because I tried to get some sleep last night and I couldn't put your book down.
Oh, God bless you. It does not have a happy ending. I have spoken to gatherings about the book, and everybody's very sad and depressed when I finish, so I have to pepper it with some jokes to remind us that life goes on. But basically, Paul, and by the way, it's a delight to be on with you. I must tell you that I have a long list of radio hosts, colleagues of mine in the radio industry, that have asked me to come on, and you are always in the top five, my friend.
Thank you.
Because you're one of the few that understands the Constitution and the danger to human liberty if we let the government take our freedoms away.
Well, thank you.
And that's what this book is about. This is the sad, unhappy story of how the government directly and sneakily, if you will, has taken our freedoms away, how legislation has been enacted that members of Congress were not permitted to read, how legislation has been enacted by voice vote, so there's not even a record of how members of Congress have voted on it, how the plain meaning of words has been changed dramatically by legislation so as to enable the FBI to seize files and property that the underlying statute with the word in it was never permitted. I'll give you an example. What would you think that under the federal system the phrase financial institution means? Probably a bank.
I would think a bank, yeah.
Like that. Yeah, because the Patriot Act allows FBI agents to write their own search warrants so long as they serve those self-written search warrants on a financial institution. Before the Patriot Act, if the FBI showed up with a search warrant from a judge, the bank would call you and would say, Paul, this is your bank. The FBI is here with a search warrant. We're going to comply with it in 10 days. You've got 10 days to challenge it before a judge. Under the Patriot Act, if the bank calls you, the person who makes the call will be charged with a felony, punishable by up to 5 years in jail for telling you that the FBI came calling. You may say, well, it's just my banking records. Here's my point. The government changed the meaning of the word financial institution so as to allow the FBI to use the financial institution authority given to it under the Patriot Act to serve self-written search warrants on the following. Tell me if these are financial institutions.
Okay.
Broker's offices, delicatessens, bodegas, hotels, restaurants, supermarkets, lawyers' offices, doctors' offices, hospitals, hotels, travel agencies, jewelry stores, boat dealerships, car dealerships, and that great financial institution to which we would all repose our fortunes, the post office.
See, now, I can understand the brokerage because they do have some financial aspects to them.
But
the rest of them are just businesses.
Bodega, your doctor, your lawyer, the FBI can go to your lawyer. You may be in a hotly contested matrimonial case. The FBI can go to your lawyer and take all that information and use it and leak it and destroy your case because the other side, your wife's lawyer, knows about it. Or you may have a very serious disease that you're on the cusp of conquering, and the FBI can take your medical records away from your doctor so that your doctor doesn't even have them to help cure you of the disease. And if your lawyer or your doctor tells you, if your lawyer or your doctor tells their own lawyers, if your lawyer or your doctor tells a priest in confession or a spouse on the pillow or a federal judge in a federal courtroom, they can be charged with a felony for telling you about it.
Outrageous.
So the Congress, in the Patriot Act, and with this subsequent statute that redefines financial institution in a way that would have made George Orwell blush, has allowed the federal agents, it's not just the FBI, actually, you should hope that the people that show up are an FBI agent because they're polite, well-educated, and they know the law. There are other agents of the federal government that you should pray you never have to deal with. But the Congress has allowed federal agents to bypass the Fourth Amendment, which says only judges can issue search warrants, because the Congress says these federal agents can write their own. And the Congress has bypassed the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech by making it a crime for you to tell anyone that you received the search warrant. I was on with my good friend and colleague and very challenging individual, you'll agree when you hear who it is, Bill O'Reilly, the other night, and we were talking about this, and I said, Bill, if an FBI agent showed up at your door with a self-written search warrant and told you you had to comply with it and couldn't tell anybody, what would you do? He said, I'd grab you, and we'd go on air within 15 minutes. I said, and then they would prosecute you for telling me and all of your listeners about it. What do you mean? The same statute that lets the FBI break down your door in the middle of the night, that lets the FBI write their own search warrant, prohibits you from telling anybody about it. Imagine the conundrum that the recipient of this warrant is in, like no other person in American history. They can't go to court and challenge it because they can't even tell a federal judge about it, because they can't even tell their lawyer about it. They can't seek the advice of any human being, because anybody they tell, a spouse, a lawyer, a judge, even a priest in the confessional, it's a crime to do so.
And I'll tell you what's so disturbing about this to me, Judge, is when you ask people about things like this, they say, okay, well, there might be some potential for abuse, but, you know, we're fighting against terrorists, and if any of this saves one American life, I don't care if the government listens to my phone calls or reads my emails or checks my bank account.
That person is not interested in the government performing its principal job, which is to protect our freedom. Read the oath of office that the president takes. It's in the Constitution. It's the only oath of office that's in the Constitution. Does it say protect real estate? No. Does it say protect life? No. Of course we want him to do those things, but his principal job is to protect the Constitution, not to avoid or to evade it. Now, you may say, well, these are hard times, and Congress debated this Patriot Act long and hard before it voted on it. Wrong. Congress was not even permitted to read the Patriot Act. Not only was there no debate on the floor of the House, it's 315 pages long, Paul, and it doesn't read like a novel. It took me 2.5 days to read it, and I've read it twice. It was posted on the House intranet, their internal internet that only members of the House and senior staff can gain access to, for 15 minutes, during which members of Congress had to vote. In the Senate, only two members admitted they read it: Feingold of Wisconsin and Wellstone of Minnesota, who's now dead. So of the 535 people who voted on this, only one living person admitted to having read it, and he voted against it. Now, when I said this to O'Reilly, he was shocked. He said, how could this be the law, and I don't know about it? Well, the government doesn't want you to know that it can do these secret things to you, and it doesn't want you to know that if you tell people about it, it's a crime, because the government is interested in accumulating power, even at the price of your freedom.
And when people say, well, these are just potential abuses, how do we know if they're actually doing any of these things? That's the point, isn't it?
Well, that's right. Here's what they do. If they're going to use the paper, we do know how many times they've used it, by the way, and I'll give you the answer at the outset. 167,000 Americans in 4 years were the victims of agent self-written search warrants. This is according to the Inspector General of the Justice Department himself.
Wow.
So that's 40,000 a year for 4 years. And according to the Inspector General, 27% of those, A, had nothing to do with terrorism, or B, were written by an FBI agent alone without even conferring with his superior, which is what the statute requires. So you have one-fifth of those were absolutely abused by the FBI and were served in cases not even authorized under the Patriot Act. But what the government really does is, when it gets this information, it doesn't use it in court. It uses it to develop other information. So you could be a defendant in a criminal case and never even know that they use the Patriot Act against you. Or you could be someone whose mail they're reading, whose keystrokes they're monitoring, whose phone calls they're taping. And if they don't prosecute you, or if they prosecute you and don't use evidence they gathered under the Patriot Act against you, here's the worst part. You'll never even know that you were victimized by it. Of the 167,000 people who were victimized by self-written search warrants. Fewer than a dozen were ever even told that the FBI did this to them. Does this sound like America?
No.
Does this sound like something out of East Germany or the old Soviet Union?
You know, this is the sort of thing where if we heard about an American citizen being subjected to this sort of justice system somewhere else, we would think how un-American that is and how glad I am that I don't live in a country like that. And yet it is going on right here in our own country, right under our own noses. And that bothers me tremendously.
Well, that's why I wrote the book, so that good folks like you can help me get the message out. Look, these laws were enacted by a terrified Congress shortly after 9/11 that was cowed by President Bush into believing things were so bad we had to cut holes into the Constitution. He continues to do that. I happen to like him as a person. I have a picture of him kissing me, and I think his heart is in the right place. But he preaches fear. FDR was a socialist, but during World War II, he preached hope. He didn't preach fear. George W. Bush has everybody afraid and cowed, even the Democrats who rejoiced in the last round of congressional elections in November of 06 have been cowed by him and continue to give him the power that he wants.
Because they're afraid to look weak, and in fact, they could be looking strong and standing up for the Bill of Rights. You know, I gave a speech a couple of weeks ago to a group here in town, and I asked them what they consider to be the greatest document ever written. And before they could answer, I said, I'll tell you, while you're going to say the Constitution, I'm going to tell you it's the Bill of Rights, the amendments to the Constitution. Because the thing I love about the Bill of Rights as a civil libertarian is not that they give us rights, is that they restrict the government from infringing upon our rights.
Boy, you could not have said that
better. I mean, the very beginning of the First Amendment is Congress shall make no law. It doesn't say you as an American have the right to. It assumes, and the brilliant men who founded our country and wrote these laws were so smart about this, they realized that we as human beings have inherent rights, and we have to have a government that doesn't infringe upon them. So here's my question, Judge, you mentioned that the President of the United States takes that oath, which you do have on page 220 of your book, because you've reprinted the entire Constitution and the Bill of Rights in your book. And the President's oath of office, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. He takes that oath. Every member of Congress takes that oath. So when they're not doing that, protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States and preserving it, what can we do about it?
Well, if a president can be impeached for lying about sex, can the president be impeached for not doing his basic job of protecting the Constitution? Answer, yes, but there's probably no stomach for that after what we went through with Bill Clinton and after what happened to us as a result of his taking his eye off the ball. Will we elect people to the Congress that will keep the president's feet to the fire of the Constitution? I think the Democrats thought that they had done so with Mrs. Pelosi taking over in the House and Harry Reid taking over in the Senate, but they've been absolutely cowed by the president's rhetoric. My hope, Paul, in writing the book and in talking to people like you and in talking to your good listeners with the hopes that they'll buy and read the book, is to start a debate, is to have a real serious debate and to educate the American people about what is happening. I don't know how many people are listening to us now. I suspect that at least 1 million are, and I would bet that the vast majority of them had no idea of how the Patriot Act came about, with no opportunity to read it and no debate, of what the Patriot Act does, letting agents write their own search warrants and prohibiting speech, and of the dastardly consequences of it. Think of history for a minute. When the King of England wanted to raise money here, he enacted, through the Parliament, the Stamp Act. The Stamp Act required that you have the King's stamp on every piece of paper in your possession. In those days, a book, a mortgage, a lease, a deed, even a poster, you were going to nail to a tree. Question. How did the king know that you had his stamp on your papers? Answer, Parliament enacted the Writs of Assistance Act. That law permitted British soldiers to write their own search warrants and to show up at your front door and to force their way in because they had given themselves the power to do so. That was the last straw. We fought a revolution. We won the revolution. We wrote a constitution. We prohibited the government from ever doing that. We've now gone full circle to the point where through the democratic processes, not through some dictatorial command, but through a law validly enacted by the Congress and signed by the president, we've allowed our own employees, federal agents, to do to us what we fought a war against the British to prevent their soldiers from doing to us.
It's as if the Fourth Amendment had never existed. I got to take a break, and then we'll come back. Do you mind taking a few phone calls?
Oh, I'll be happy to, Paul. We'll have some fun.
All right, 314-436-7900, toll-free, 800-925-1120. Judge Andrew Napolitano, senior judicial analyst for the Fox News Channel, longtime friend of this show. His new book is called A Nation of Sheep. We have a link to it on KMOX.com, and if you use that link to buy the book, a portion of the proceeds will go to our friends at St. Louis Children's Hospital. That's through KMOX.com, and we're back right after this. On page 62 of Judge Andrew Napolitano's new book, A Nation of Sheep, he says, and I quote, "With President George W. Bush at the helm, the executive branch has reached well beyond the limits of its authority and has launched a full-on assault on the natural rights and fundamental liberties protected from interference by our Constitution. Over the course of his two terms, nearly every constitutional right has suffered except for those of gun owners. The First Amendment right to association no longer extends to groups to provide material support to terrorism. The Fifth Amendment guarantee of due process no longer applies to those the president decides are enemy combatants. The privacy protected by the Fourth Amendment may now be invaded without warrants. The separation of powers that subjects each branch to the checks and balances of the others has been rejected entirely and replaced by an above-the-law mentality that allows the president to authorize torture of prisoners despite international treaties and federal laws prohibiting torture under all circumstances." Now, we're in the process of a presidential election just over a year away, 53 weeks away, in fact. The first votes will be cast in something like 9 or 10 weeks. And, of course, all the people who are running want to replace President Bush. And as they travel around the country, I find it ironic that both the Democrats and Republicans are following the president's lead, Your Honor, in one particular area, and that is that when protesters show up, the Secret Service moves those protesters off into what are called free speech zones, usually a couple of blocks away from the hotel or other location where these candidates are speaking, just as President Bush has the Secret Service do for when he travels.
I could be sarcastic and say that would be impossible because the whole country is a free speech zone.
Well,
but I'm aware of what they have been doing to President Bush. Quite frankly, Paul, I had not heard that this happens to the campaigners as well. I'd be surprised if some of them went along with it. On the left, I'd be surprised if Dennis Kucinich went along with it. And on the right, I'd be surprised if Ron Paul went along with it.
Well, I think it's the major candidates who are getting these protesters who are showing up. Not many people are protesting Dennis Kucinich because if three of them show up, they outnumber the supporters.
The major candidates, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards in the Democratic Party, and Mitt Romney, John McCain, Fred Thompson, and Rudy Giuliani in the Republican Party, are all big government types who all to a person, notwithstanding the vast differences between them in personality, backup, and background and ideology, they all support the Patriot Act. They all support the use of power to interfere with people's fundamental liberties, and none of them would lift a finger to prevent the Secret Service from keeping protesters away from them. But I'll tell you this, the Supreme Court of the United States, the last time it looked at this issue, and it was only about 10 or 12 months ago, said if the protesters cannot reasonably expect that their protest is heard by the object of the protest because the police are keeping them too far away, then the police have violated the First Amendment liberty of the protesters. So whether you're protesting an abortion clinic or a candidate who's preaching socialism, whether you're protesting Hillary Clinton on the left or John McCain on the right, if the police keep you too far away from them to hear your protests, then your First Amendment rights have been suppressed and you have a cause of action against the police. But, of course, by the time this is tried in court, the election will already have been heard.
Yeah.
Somebody will have won and somebody will have lost, and your protest would not have made it to the ears of your target.
Yeah, so much for the right to the people peaceably to assemble. Now, I had an email from a listener named Jim who says, please ask the judge if he thinks that any of the candidates currently running for president or any of those in Congress now would do anything to reverse what we've seen over the last several years.
Oh, Ron Paul certainly would on the right. Dennis Kucinich would on the left. Now, I don't carry any water for Dennis Kucinich, and in full disclosure, Ron Paul is a good friend of mine. But Kucinich, from the left, has attacked the Patriot Act, has attacked torture, has attacked that wacky definition of financial institutions that I told you, because he believes that too much power is going into the hands of a conservative president. I don't know if he'd be saying that if the president were a liberal. Ron Paul and a group of about 20 Republicans in the House, stalwart defenders of the Constitution, they've attacked all this because they believe, A, the Constitution can't be changed by the Congress, and they're right, the Constitution can only be changed by three-quarters of the states, and B, they believe that the president is doing things that are absolutely illegal and probably criminal when he tortures people, when he authorizes spying, when he lets his agents do the things that the Congress has authorized it to do. Unfortunately, that's only two of the 16 candidates running for president. All of the others, and you've got a full array of candidates in there, you know, from strong right to lifers to abortion on demand, from those that want to raise your taxes to redistribute wealth to those that want to cut your taxes. On the issue of the power of the government to get in your face, with the exception of Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, they're all the same.
Yep, strangely silent, which makes me
cuts
wonder.
Across Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. The problem is, in a nutshell, if I may, people like you and me, Paul, do not end up in the government. People that run for office or have careers in the government are people that believe in big government. They're do-gooders and busybodies that want to make decisions to force people to behave in a way that they think they should behave. People like you and me, Senator Barry Goldwater, Thomas Jefferson, Reagan before he was president, believe that the government should be shrunk, not expanded, that it does too many things, it's involved in too many people's lives, and much of what it does is outside the parameters of what the Constitution authorizes it to do. Unfortunately, we're in a vast minority. So I don't expect the Patriot Act to be undone tomorrow, but I do expect a lot of good listeners to be calling their members of Congress saying, did you vote for this thing? Did you vote to authorize federal agents to break down my door to write their own search warrants? Did you vote to make it a crime for me to call my lawyer and say, there's an FBI agent here, what should I do? And in virtually every instance, if the congressman is telling the truth and was in the Congress in the fall of 2001, they'll say yes.
Not just authorized, but unfortunately reauthorized. I promised we'd get to some phone calls for Judge Andrew Napolitano. His book is Nation of Sheep. And Ted, you're on KMOX. Hi.
Yeah, there's actually three things all related. First of all, the White Affidavit goes way back, and that allows basically police put in the name that they want, and they make arrests on their own volition. The second thing is what is called lethal finding by the president, which has existed for years. It allows him to name a person to be killed on site, and it also allows a lot of other things. And then there's criminal authority, which has existed for years also, that allows the president to authorize, actually I believe the attorney general must countersign, and allows individuals who are in federal federal authorities or people acting under federal authority to commit crimes. There was a big prosecution of people who were involved in murder in, I believe, Detroit, not more than about 15 years ago.
Well, my first book is called Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. And I've cataloged in that book dozens and dozens of instances of law breaking. And I am sure that the types of things that you're talking about have happened. But none of it is legal. and none of it has been authorized. If the president authorizes an FBI agent to kill someone, the FBI agent and the president have committed murder. No statute could authorize that. If the police simply have a blank form affidavit and they fill in a person's name and give it to a judge, and a judge issues a search warrant or an arrest warrant on that warrant on that basis, it's an invalid search warrant, and the police who did that would be prosecuted or should be prosecuted for obstructing justice by the very judge whom they duped.
And so if you were sitting on the bench,
they don't happen with permission or consent of the Constitution.
All right. Dennis, you're on KMOX. Say hi to Judge Knapp.
Hi, Judge Knapp. I bought your second book. Loved it. Thank you for all that you're doing and saying.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. God bless you.
Second, I got one quick question. Hey, I'm just a little Joe Blow. What can I do to, besides call my congressman and say, did you sign this bill or vote for it without looking at it, without some FBI guy coming to my door and me being sent to Yucca Valley, digging a big hole for the rest of my life, disappearing?
What can the little guy do?
The little guy can confront the member of Congress at some public gathering and ask him why he would vote for such a thing. He probably, if he isn't even sure of what the document authorizes, I'll tell you that I've spoken to members of Congress, just as you've heard me speak in the past half hour on your great radio show, and a lot of them were shocked at what I said. And I said, did you guys ever read what you wrote? And, of course, they told me, read what you voted on. And they told me the story how they didn't have a chance to. And, of course, they haven't read it since then. So believe it or not, most members of Congress don't even know as much as you now know about the Patriot Act. I suggest they would be shocked, and I hope that you will shock them.
You know what? Maybe buy a copy and send it to them would be a good way to
do it. There you go.
Yeah. There's so much in the book I want to talk to you about, from Guantanamo to eminent domain to immigration to the bong hits for Jesus case. We've actually had you on to talk about that. But I realize I only have another minute or two here. I want to ask you about surveillance cameras, because you write a little bit about this in the book, and we now live in a society where a city like St. Louis announces that it's going to put up hundreds of surveillance cameras all over town. They'll be monitored by volunteers, not even by officials of the city, but volunteers who are associated with our police department will be monitoring these sort of things. And cities all over the country are following the lead of London in trying to do this and keep a closer eye on the public as it walks through public spaces. What's your take on that?
I have two takes on it. One is, I don't know how the people that we've hired to work for us can spy on us. We should really be spying on them. What employee gets to spy on the employer? And that's just what the police are. My second observation is that no less an authority than William Sessions, who ran the Justice Department, who ran the FBI for 15 years under Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, has argued that cameras do not stop crime at all. They may make it easier for the police to catch the criminal, but they don't stop the crime from happening. Therefore, they don't make us safer. They just make us less free. And do you know that in England, the cameras are not just cameras, but they're microphones. So the person watching may very well say, this would really turn George Orwell over in his grave, we just saw you go through that red light. Stop picking your nose. Let the lady cross the street ahead of you. That's what you hear. Believe it or not, this is the truth. At certain street corners, at certain towns in Great Britain, it's on its way here. Big Brother watching us in the streets and telling us what to do.
The book is called A Nation of Sheep. We must not be a nation of sheep. We must pay attention to these things. And Judge Andrew Napolitano uses the clarity of his brilliant voice to explain exactly why. I urge you to get this book. If you do it through the link on KMOX.com, a portion of the proceeds will go to help out St. Louis Children's Hospital. Judge Knapp, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Paul. We'll do it again sometime.
Judge Andrew Napolitano, senior judicial analyst for the Fox News Channel and a longtime friend of the Paul Harris Show, here on News Talk 1120 KMOX.